our ears and our minds to your word. Father, I pray that we can now just put those distractions that we're thinking about, that we're mulling over to one side. And I pray that you will just speak to each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just very briefly, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Linwen. I'm married to David. I got two young kids. They're not. They're 25 and 24. They're two young adults. We also run a business employment law and HR consultancy in Reigate. And I've been coming to St. Mary's for about 24 years. And I have the privilege of being one of the church wardens here. Unbelievable. Many of us here this morning, we've heard this story so often. And when I first sort of looked at this passage, when I knew I was going to be talking about it, my initial reaction was that, well, I will be obviously telling you about tools and techniques to how we evangelize and fish for men, such as, you know, don't be too weird, don't be scary, don't stand on the high street with a placard, you know, you see them in Oxford Street, and don't get too excited, and don't give them that crazy Christian intimidating stare. It's not a sales pitch. And after some prayer, I realised God actually wants me to talk about something else this morning. It's still about this passage, you'd be pleased to know, Richard. It's still about this passage. And it's interesting, actually, because we often run employment law courses, and I often have to think, so who are my audience? Who am I actually talking to today? And it's a tricky one for a church setting like this, because the reality is there will be people here this morning who are long-standing, mature Christians with a great faith. There will be new Christians. There will be the poor among you who've been dragged for whatever reason, but you've been told to come this morning. And sorry about that. And perhaps there'll be some here this morning who are just curious, just exploring what this is all about. You're a mixed bag. You're a really mixed bag, actually. But I really think as well, hand on heart, that God has got something to say to every one of us as well today through this passage. And I think it's safe to say as well that we're actually not so good at actually fishing for men. And I think, in fact, a lot of Christians I know feel vaguely guilty about the whole subject and almost feel like failures when it comes to sharing our belief. And despite God's great commission, his great commission to go out, you know, and spread his gospel, his good news, many of us would rather redirect our energies into perhaps spiritual activity or something that's a little bit more safer and perhaps more satisfying, etc., and perhaps a little bit easier than putting ourselves out there and talking actively about our faith. And keeping that this fishing analogy as well, the tough one is that the church, this church, this is a fishing boat. This is not a pleasure boat. And Christ does not say, follow me and I will take you on this great cruise. I mean, he'll take us on a great trip, absolutely. But he says, follow me. And do you remember when you were little, you used to pray, follow the leader? And follow the leader, I used to pray with my brothers, and they were older than me, and they used to be so really naughty, because they would do things that they knew only they could do because of their heights. So they'd say, right, we're going to jump over this ditch, Linwen, and you've got to follow me. And you'd copy everything you'd say, and I'd try and jump the ditch, and I couldn't jump the ditch, and they knew that. But following them meant you copied every silly activity they did. And Jesus says, follow me. And he says, follow me, and then I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, follow me, and you will be fishers of men. He said, I will make you. You've got to follow me first. Follow me first. And most of the time, I think we can act as if Jesus said, follow me, and we'll talk about fishing for men. And so we read books, and we go to seminars, and we watch DVDs, and we listen to sermons like this, and we become experts at talking about fishing for men. And being really honest, hand on heart, I don't think I've ever personally brought someone to faith. And I say that really seriously. I don't think I've personally brought someone to faith. Hopefully I might have sown a seed or encouraged people, etc. But I can truly say that sharing my faith scares me. And it's easy standing here because actually most of you have chosen to come here this morning. So, you know, I've got a captive audience. But when it comes to my colleagues at work, the people I work with, when it comes to my neighbours, when it comes to my family, my brothers, it's really, really hard to talk about my faith. And yet the bizarre thing, using just another analogy, when I find a great recipe, or you taste something so good, you want to find out what that recipe is. Or I'll say to my friend, I made this the most amazing cake today. Humility is not one of my gifts. I made this most amazing cake. I must give you the recipe. And we want to share it and be excited about it. Can you imagine if we had that same enthusiasm and passion about our faith? And I'm also aware as well that a lot of damage can be done in how we communicate and what others hear and understand if we aren't clear. And it can lead to absolute disasters, as this next clip will wonderfully show.
And we're just, it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in. And we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no!
I sadly play that in bed in the mornings if I'm feeling a bit down, just to make me laugh. And it had to be a church setting as well. It had to be a Christian setting when that happened. But anyway, I don't, you know, communication is so clear. But I don't want to focus on fishing for men. What's really grabbed my attention in this passage is how did these ordinary, probably uneducated fishermen step out and become great fishers of men? How do they do that? But I think it's also interesting just to consider as well, firstly, this passage as a parable about catching people. Because Jesus was not merely teaching the word of God in this particular passage. As he sat in the boat, he was showing us something. He was truly showing us something by his actions and words and about how he means for us as followers to win men of faith. And just briefly going through that passage. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And Jesus had intentionally, you know, he intentionally chose to go fishing from that boat. So that boat, he went to where the people were at. That boat became his platform for evangelism, where fish are caught. And we've got to question ourselves as Christians. You know, where do we go? Are we constantly just socializing with fellow Christians? Are we there in environments where we have non-Christians? In verse 4, Jesus says to Peter to move the boat just a little out first of all. When he first stands in it, he's in those shallow waters. And then he says, put out to the deep. And then for the nets to be used, not just the boat. And Jesus is really showing us in this, what I see as a parable, that when you really step out in faith, when you go into the deep, I remember Alistair when he came back from his mission trip, when he stepped out in faith, out of your comfort zone, something happens, but you've got to be intentional. And Peter was shattered, absolutely exhausted. He'd been fishing all night, and Peter is saying, "Master, look, we've worked all night, we know the fish, you're a carpenter, we're the fishermen, you don't know this place, and we're shattered." And how often have we actually felt like that? How often have we felt like that, shattered from coming home from work, from looking after the kids all day, from caring from elderly friends or neighbours? And so we think, nah, do you know, I'm not going to go to life group. I'm not going to go to that church meeting. I'm not going to go where I actually volunteered. But what's wonderful, when Peter faithfully obeyed and went deeper, Jesus just outrageously blessed him. And everyone saw this. Everyone saw what Jesus did. And this isn't about the nets or the fish. This is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. And what I love as well is he gives us Peter as an example. And Peter's not perfect. And he's not brimming with faith. He probably hasn't even got faith at this point. But he's probably heard about the news of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say to him, "Look, Peter, get your act together, mate, and come back another time. You're a little bit more enthusiastic here." Jesus just accepts his half-hearted obedience and absolutely meets him where he's at. And that is so encouraging for me and hopefully for us all. And when Peter and the others saw this blessing, Jesus had just done something that they experienced, they tasted. They tasted the power and the authority of Jesus, and their lives were changed forever. And Richard, you said at the APCM, you said we're living in this sort of post-Christian world. These disciples, these fishermen were in a pre-Christian world. At this point, Christianity did not exist. And you could actually say, you know, we're in a very similar environment at the moment. We are potentially living in post-Christian era where we have the same challenges as those disciples of getting the message out to people and a whole generation who know nothing about Christ. These men are no ordinary fishermen. They are just ordinary fishermen, but they're just simply doing what they were doing. And what's incredible is that Jesus broke through into their mundane lives, and everything changes. And so for me, I think anybody sitting here this morning who has doubt, and actually we all have doubts, even as a sort of long-standing Christians, we do just need to stop and reflect on what happened next. Something so supernatural. And it is, our faith is supernatural. We are spiritual beings. Something so supernatural and transformational was heard and seen and experienced that day that in all those 11 non-Christian men became Christians, and over 2,000 years later, 2.2 billion Christians in the world. And what's really important, over the next 3 years, they didn't go to Bible college. They didn't come to church. They didn't even have a Bible. They probably couldn't even read. But what they did, they watched Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. They listened to his every word. We have the Bible where those words are. And what happened then is that he transformed them. We've heard Richard say, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. And they, like us, had to battle with every human characteristic that we do. Our pride, envy, fear, doubt, insecurity, jealousy, all those things that we all grapple with. They argued over who was the greatest. And Jesus had to show them that that honor belonged to children. They wanted to know who would sit next to him on his right hand in his kingdom. They ran away when Jesus was in his darkest hour. And even after the resurrection, when Jesus had forgiven Peter for abandoning him, Peter was still concerned about comparing himself to another disciple who Jesus was really close to. And as fishermen, when you think of it really, fishermen, they were probably most comfortable on their own with their nets, sitting quietly by the sea. And yet Christ took them out of that and brought them into contact with people. And how many times have I heard people say, I don't really like, spending too much time with large crowds and people. I'll just avoid that. I like to work on my own. I find it difficult. And I get that. Of course I get that. They didn't, when we first read, they didn't like crowds. We read, first of all, they didn't like crowds. And yet they wanted to send the crowds away from Jesus. They stood in the way of children coming towards Jesus. And they tried to stop people from other cultures coming to Jesus. They were so not perfect. So human, and that is so reassuring. And so you might not be a believer, but when I think of these men, and many of us will be praying for loved ones close to us who are not Christians, for years you've been praying for them. But be persistent, because God is in the absolute business of transforming lives. And I've said it before when I've been up here, my favorite story and character in the whole Bible, is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And this is the man clearly detailed in history books who was Saul of Tarsus. Paul was, before he encountered Christ, Saul of Tarsus. He was, the modern day terrorist. He was dedicated, totally dedicated to hunting down, persecuting and murdering Christians. And yet when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life changed. How incredible is that? And then, we see that he's responsible for 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. God is in the business of transforming, and he's just waiting for us to come to him. And the disciples became great fishers of men because they listened firstly to his words and learned from Jesus. He taught them new things about the nature of God, about love, about forgiveness, about compassion, about mercy, unconditional love. He showed them how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. And what happened is being around Jesus rubbed off on them. They became like Jesus. And of course, after Pentecost, they were filled with his spirit and started doing the things he did, living with his character, and people flocked to them. Can you imagine what would happen here in Reigate if we all became Christ-like? How attractive, how powerful that would be. My village I was brought up in, Kevincribble, with a little street, 12 houses, don't laugh, that's the name of the village, the Kevincribble. And there's a street of 12 houses, and we lived in number 10, and at the end of the street was a separate house by itself, and in that house lived Florrie Bordy. And Florrie Bordy was about 5 foot 2, she was square, that's the only way I could say, she was short and square. She was a spinster, and she wore overalls, always wore a set of overalls. It was quite remarkable, actually, but, you know, that's who Florrie was. And I remember going in to see her. Every day, my dad always used to just keep an eye on her. And we went in to see her one day, and we went in, and there she was, sitting on the kitchen chair, and in front of her were three-piece blocks of wood, and she had a poker in the left hand and a little book on the table. And Dad said, "What are you doing, Florrie?" And she said, "Griff, I think I've learned to drive," she said. "I think I've learned to drive." And so what she was doing, one piece of wood was, because this book said, you press the accelerator, you press the clutch, and she would learn to drive. "I'm ready to buy a car, Griff. I'm ready to buy a car." And my dad said, Florrie said, I think you need to actually experience it," he said, because she didn't have her own car. She had never experienced a gear stick or pressing a clutch pedal or accelerator. And Dad said, "Before you buy a car, Florrie, let's actually sit you in the car and for you to experience this." And of course, my point here is to become Christ-like. We need to experience and know the authentic Jesus. Not be attracted by speakers or good sermons or other Christian friends who seem to have it all sorted. But to personally have a relationship with God revealed to us in Jesus. We need to know who he is, what he did, and through his word, because when we do, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are then set to go fishing. Danielle, at the 9 o'clock service the week before last, she shared the words that Mother Teresa spoke when she was working and ministering with the poor in Calcutta. And these people that she worked amongst and who were her friends, they were the starving, they were the dying, and the poor. And Mother Teresa, she said this. She said, "The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people. You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. They feel unloved and unwanted. These people are not hungry in the physical sense, but they are in another way. And they know they need something more than money, yet they don't know what it is. What they are missing really is a living relationship with God." And I also have a huge respect for John Stott. And many of you would have, of course, heard of John Stott. He's a great Christian thinker and writer of our modern age. And in his last sermon in 2007, John Stott said, after all his theology and all his biblical interpretation, he said this at the end: "I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth. And it is this: God wants his people to become like Christ. Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God." It all comes down to that. If we are to be fishers of men, we need to start with ourselves and being transformed ourselves, which will only happen when we know who Jesus is, his word, his nature, his characteristics. We need to have his promises on our hearts. We need to be able to talk to friends about some of the promises that are in the Bible. You know, John, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I can say to my friends, I believe in a God. My faith really helps me because of this promise of God. But all who listen to me will live in peace and troubled by fear of harm. For I know the plans I have for you. I was talking to a friend of mine who just didn't get a key job. She's got no job and she needed a job. And God says this: "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I can sit there and say, look, I believe my God promises that everything that's happening now is for a good reason. These are the promises we need to hold on to and hold in our hearts. We need to know them. And Jesus didn't say, come and be religious. He didn't say, come and learn lots of clever ideas about how to answer questions about life, the universe, and everything. And he didn't say, come and be good, nice people. He said, follow me. Follow me. And when we peel back the layers of who Jesus was, this amazing man, we see his relationship with God. And through his prayer life, he had a close and intimate relationship with God. He knew the scriptures which revealed God's character, and he could share and he could discuss those scriptures with everybody. Jesus says in John 15, remain in me as a branch remains in a vine, and you will bear fruit. My paraphrase of that is, keep following me, stay plugged into me, into my word, and like a branch and his sap, and my life will flow through you. To be followers of Christ, we've got to plug into his word, and it's so difficult sometimes. And interestingly, in our life group in the last term, we decided radically to just open the Bible and read it. We didn't have DVDs, we didn't have books to help us. We just chose a book, opened it, and between us, talked it through. And you know, it's been so, so powerful. We've got to just open our Bibles. But we also need to be aware that we will not catch people by having beautiful buildings and waiting for them to come in through the doors. We've got to go into the deep waters and intentionally make contacts. We've got to build relationships wherever our equivalent of the fishing boat is, whether it's at work, school, sports clubs, wherever it is. We need to actually build relationships so that God's light can shine through us. And so the questions I'm left with for myself, because it's so challenging this for myself, because it's the biggest difficulty I have, is reading the Bible. It's the biggest difficulty I have, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And so I ask myself, am I truly following him, or am I doing just lots of spiritual activity? Am I truly following him? Do I truly know his story, his nature, his power, his authority? Is it truly locked in my heart? Because when it is, when you've tasted it, you also want others to taste it. As that wonderful woman, Marge Simpson in The Simpsons, said so wisely, if you want to lay the golden eggs, you have to look after the goose. If you want to be fishermen, you need to start with yourself and look after yourself and your relationship with God, revealed through Jesus, and know who he truly is, because then the transformation begins. Amen.